Let's get underway.
Welcome, everybody, back to another episode of Underway, your home for everything Major League Soccer. I am your host, Tyler Wise, bringing you latest updates and insights. And today, we have the second part of our MLS club previews, this time going over the Western Conference, culminating with what everybody wants to hear, my league rankings. So I'll go over all of the teams individually, and then at the end of this beautiful episode, we will put my takes out there to either be completely crapped on, or everybody will agree with me, hoping for the second one. But we will see. Let's kick things off strong with Austin FC. The team that barely likes to spend any money has been backing up the Brinks truck and just dumping money everywhere. They have brought in Ilya Sanchez, making the right choice once again. Nicholas Dubarsky, Besar Sobovic, Brandon Vasquez, your U.S. men's national team number 9, and Murto Izuni. This team looks amazing for Nico Estevez to take over. Like I mentioned, bringing in so much money to make them relevant again. I think they overperformed first couple seasons with Josh Wolf, came crashing back down to reality last season, and now they are primed to make some moves in MLS this season. Is it because they're hosting the MLS All-Star Game? Who knows? But the team looks much better with a front line of Izuni, Brandon Vasquez, Bukari, with rotational pieces like Diego Rubio and Yadier Obrian. It's a great attack. It's something that they haven't really had since so much money was tied up into Sebastian Driussi, as well as bringing in Ilya Sanchez to conduct the game with Danny Pereira on that right central mid side, I think, who is going to take another step this season. I really love his game. The one thing that I would say that they need to do is update that back line. Mikel Dessler, not bad. Oleksandr Svatok, who, if you know Beam by now, anybody Ukrainian, I am a big fan of. And Brendan Hines-Ike. But that left-hand side of Biro and Hines, let's upgrade that, you guys. Like, we have some U22 initiative spots that could be easily used to help bolster that left-hand side behind Izuni. Look, the trade window for MLS doesn't end for another month or so. I don't think Austin is done. If they're already investing this much money, continue, you know? Like show what you got. Because right now, this is a great roster in the West. You know, the West is going to be tight like it always is. But Austin, I could see easily finishing in that 6 or 7 spot. Next team up, we have the Colorado Rapids. They have brought in Owaziam, Ian Murphy, Theodore Cudipietro, Ali Fadal, and Josh Atencio. Chris Armas is getting so much more buy-in from the Cronkies than Robin Fraser ever did. But this team, who went from why not the effing Pids last season, are now in, hey, maybe it's our shot to try to win something here. They have Zach Steffen in goal, who was so-so last season, but a back line of Sam Vines, Owaziam, Andreas Maxo, Keegan Rosenberry, with Ian Murphy and Reggie Cannon. That back line plus goalkeeper, it's going to be really solid this season. They have an attack of Georgi Mihailovic, Hafa Navarro, Kevin Cabral, and Cole Bassett, with Kamani Bain-Stewart, Theodore Cudipietro, Calvin Harris, not the DJ, and Darren Yappe. This is a really good MLS roster. I know the Rapids have gone through some not so great seasons, but this season I really do think that they could compete for some hardware. Obviously, I would like to see them upgrade that right-hand side wing position that Kevin Cabral currently occupies. It just feels leftover from the last regime of, hey, we're not spending money, so let's bring in a DP that doesn't work. And now that we still are paying him money, we might as well play him. I could see Calvin Harris, not the DJ, continuously taking over that right-hand spot because his team is just too good to rely on Kevin Cabral only. But we'll see. FC Dallas has shipped out so many people, including Jesus Ferreira, Paul Areola, and Alan Velasco. They brought in former MLS MVP and always disgruntled Argentinian Lucho Acosta, Ramiro, Pedro Martins, Shaq Moore, Leo Chu, Lalas Abubakar, Alvaro Augusto, and Ozazi. A lot of people are saying that this team is not going to be great in the West. Who knows? You know, I don't know anything. You don't know anything. We all just pontificate and hope that we're right at the end of it. But Martin in goal with a back line of Abubakar, Marco Fonfan, Shaq Moore, and Ozazi with Ibiaga sprinkled in. Not too bad. I mean, it's not a great back line, but it's also not too bad. Abubakar and Shaq Moore, I think, are probably the stars of that back line. You can say that that's an indictment on where they'll finish, but I do think Abubakar was great for Colorado and he just became expendable. Don't know why they shipped out Nkosi Defari, because they could definitely use him on that right-hand center back spot. But getting a full season of Patrickson Delgado, we'll see if Paxton Pomykal ever takes that next step. And Lucho Acosta distributing up towards a front three of Petar Musa, Bernie Camungo, Leo Chu, or Anderson Julio on that left-hand side. I think they'll be fun to watch. Do I think that they'll be a good team? Sure, why not? A great team? Definitely not. But they'll be fun to watch, especially if they have Lucho on the team. If he's bought into this system and he's bought into the team, which I hope that he would be if he was trying to leave for Argentina the entire offseason, they'll at least be fun. They'll be hovering around the playoff line. Depending on injuries, they could make it, they could not. But either way, Dallas, who has not really been all that relevant in the past couple seasons, are becoming relevant. And that's all you can really ask for a team that doesn't spend so much money. I mean, I know that they dropped a boatload on Petar Musa, but the Hunts just would rather invest that money into the Kansas City Chiefs, apparently, and leave FC Dallas and Lamar Hunt's legacy out to dry. But that is my own opinion, and maybe you do or do not share the same. Staying in Texas, we have the Houston Dynamo. They had brought in Jack McGlynn, Felipe Andrade, Eric Duenas, LAFC legend, and Junior Urso. They have notably shipped out Mexican legend Hector Herrera and Coco Carrasquilla. But team's not bad. Ben Olsen, I think, deserves more than, hey, we're going to bring you Jack McGlynn. But I expect Ponce to take a huge step this upcoming season. Really sad that Anali's probably going to be out for an extended period. I loved what he was able to do last season before that injury. Stairs, Eric Svechenko, it's okay. You know, Griffin Dorsey and Franco Escobar, I think, are probably going to be covering a lot of ground on the sides of the field. But look, they just brought in Nico Ladero, Jack McGlynn. They still have Amin Bassi and Artur. That's a really solid middle of the field. If they can get Ponce scoring goals, I think we'll see a really good Houston team as long as they're able to get some help on the wings. They still have an open DP spot. We'll see if they use it. The biggest problem I see is within that center back line. They shipped out Mikael to Palmeiras. Hopefully they can get a center back in that is half as good as he was so that they can make sure that Drew Tarbell or whoever they're putting back in goal is not going to be having very long days every single match day. But Ben Olsen is going to have this team clicking. They'll be just like Dallas. They'll be hovering around the playoff spot. We will look back on this and say, Dallas brought in Lucho and Houston only brought in Nico Ladero and Jack McGlynn. And guess what? They're probably going to finish above Dallas. Sporting Kansas City has basically retooled their entire roster. They decided to ship out every player over 30. I'm kidding. But they are relying on younger players, Tim Melia, Johnny Russell, Andrew Fontas, all gone in their place. John Pulskamp, who I met at Coachella, incredibly impressive dude. Huge season coming from him. I don't think it's fair that he's going to start it off with a CONCACAF Champions Cup appearance against Inter Miami and Messi. But don't take that as this is who this guy is. It's Messi. They're going to score goals. Pulskamp, gonna be phenomenal this season. Their back line, I'm not incredibly too sure on. I still think that they need to make some upgrades in that center back spot. Logan Ndembe and Jake Davis in the backfield, pretty solid. They brought in Manu Garcia and Dejan Jovalich, as well as Shapi Sulemanov. Good additions. Dejan, I think, is a huge upgrade over what Alan Pulido was, mainly because he will be healthy. Daniel Shalloway on the wing with Eric Tommy and Steven Afrifa kind of rotating in. They're going to be an okay team. You know, I don't think that they necessarily have the firepower to compete with the top teams of the West, but they'll be good. Your defending MLS Cup champions have retooled their entire roster. They have shipped out Marky Delgado, Gaston Brugman, Jalen Neal, Dejan Jovalic, and they're looking a little banged up. I mean, Gabriel Peck is going to do insane things coming off that right-hand side because he just is who he is. All he knows is ball and ball go in net, and he's going to score a lot of goals. Their problem here is Ricky Puig is going to be out for an extended period of time, probably not coming back until September. Joseph Painstill is going to be out for the first 7 weeks of the season. Can they rely on Marco Reus with a lot of minutes? Who knows? You know, he didn't really play a lot last season, but he is notorious for getting injured. So, you know, we'll see how he does with an extended offseason. And Diego Fagundes is going to take over that left-hand side and in place of Painstill. And you're going to see a lot of extra minutes from Sean Davis and Elijah Winder. It's not ideal, but this just kind of is the name of the game. You win an MLS Cup, you lose players, you try to retool the best you can. Galaxy are going to finish towards the top of the West. I don't think the drop-off is going to be as big as some people are guessing, but they will be an incredibly competitive team, especially once Painstill comes back. LAFC has made a lot of off-season moves, bringing in Jeremy Abobasi, Odin, Thiago Holm, Igor Jesus, Yaya Boa, Nikosi Tafari, Artem Smolyakov, and Marky Delgado. Eric Duenas has left, Kike Oliveira has left, Omar Campos has left, Mateus Bogush has left, but John Thorington is cooking once again and bringing in a bunch of proven MLS players. It reminds me a lot of the 2022 season when they brought in players like Ilya Sanchez and Ryan Hollingshead. They have proven MLS players that they brought in, like Nikosi Tafari and Mark Delgado, Jeremy Abobasi, while also taking flyers on people from outside of the league like Artem Smolyakov and Igor Jesus. It's not done yet, but there is a rumor that Cengiz Under from Turkey is coming over. There has been a promise of protest from the Armenian contingency of LAFC supporters if he comes. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole, but with Kike Oliveira being gone and him occupying a DP spot until hopefully Antoine Griezmann finally shows up, LAFC is going to do what LAFC does, which is put on an incredible show and win a lot of games. It is a homer pick of me, but yeah, they're going to finish at the top of the West. They always do. They're always competitive. I just hope that Olivier Giroud doesn't look like a baby giraffe out there anymore getting attacked by a lion. The guy scares me when he goes up for a ball because he looks like he's going to break his back every single time. Is that just because he's an older player? Sure, why not? But the guy scares me. And I think that they brought in Jeremy Abobasi the same way that Kai Kamara was there, as an insurance policy. LAFC looked so much better when Kai Kamara was up there. We'll see if Olivier Giroud is able to continue his form that he brought over from AC Milan. He barely made a difference last season, and there's no way that the fall off has been that drastic. I mean, you would expect him to just come into MLS and just tear the league up. That's not always the case. It is a completely different style of league. Hopefully with these preseason games, he's understanding how his body can move in this league, and hopefully he continues to do what he's done over his entire career, which is score a bunch of goals. Denny Bawanga is going to need somebody else besides himself. We've seen what that looked like. That was 2023 when LAFC somehow made it to the finals against Columbus and they got thrashed. So I'm expecting big things from LAFC. We'll see what kind of formation they go into. Cherundolo obviously playing things close to the vest. The fact that they brought in Tafari while bringing back Marlon and Aaron Long and Eddie Segura and Maxime Cheneau and Lorenzo Della Valle, who a lot of people have forgotten about, but the only reason why he's here is because he idolizes Giorgio Chiellini. They brought him in from Juventus. The kid is going to be really good. There's no way that you're carrying six center backs on this roster and you're going to go to a back four. So I expect a lot of wing play with Hollingshead and Palencia and Yaya Boa as more of a 3-4-3 or a 5-2-3, however you want to play it. But they have a lot of rotational pieces now that they didn't have last season. It's been an incredible upgrade for them. Minnesota United have brought in Kip Keller, Ho Young-jung, Owen Jean, and Nicholas Romero. They were a playoff team last season off the back of Robin Ludd and Taniola Shea. And this season, I think they're better. They have Kelvin Yeboah, who I have a lot of stock in. The dude scored so many goals in the short amount of time that he was here last season. And now that he has more time with Eric Ramsey, who is incredibly impressive, they're going to be on the same page. Sangbing Jung and Robin Ludd as those kind of attacking midfielders behind him and Tani. We'll see how it works, but I think that they're going to be up there. Probably, I'm not going to give anything away, but you know, they'll be in those top six spots in the West. They'll play some meaningful games, and we'll see how it all plays out. But I'm telling you right now, Kelvin Yeboah is somebody that you need to watch out for, because in the small sample size that we got last season, unless he just takes a massive drop off, this guy is going to be scoring goals. Portland Timbers are the next team. They obviously had a tumultuous relationship with Evander, who is now gone and in Cincinnati. They replaced him with David DaCosta, while also bringing in Kevin Kelsey, who used to be at FC Cincinnati from Shakhtar Donetsk, Jimmer Foure, Joao Ortiz to replace Eric Williamson, and Ariel Lassiter. Ariel Lassiter and Neville obviously spent time in Miami together, so he's bringing in people that he knows. They returned pretty much their entire back line in front of Maxime Crépeau, while also adding Finn Sermon. That's a great defensive nucleus. It's just, how are they going to perform over the season? How is David DaCosta going to fit into this team? They have David Ayala there and Christian Paredes in that midfield. And Joao Ortiz, from the small sample size that we've seen in preseason, looks pretty solid. I don't expect massive minutes from Diego Chara because of his age, but that front line, whether you're playing Felipe Mora, Kevin Kelsey, or Jonathan Rodriguez at that number nine spot, three great choices. It's that left-hand side who it's kind of up in the air on, are you really going to put your trust in Ariel Lassiter, or are you going to play Antony outside of position? Because Santi Moreno has that right-hand side pretty locked up. It's just going to be how Neville wants to tool this roster, but they're going to be incredibly competitive, and I expect great things from them this season. And on a completely related but unrelated note, their 50th anniversary kit, incredible. I love it. I don't want to spend an entire episode going through all of the MLS kits that were released, but Portland number one, Seattle number two, just killed it this season. RSL has shipped out Chicho Arango, Anderson Julio, and brought in Arioth Piol, Elias Manuel, and Sam Junqua, as well as Rafael Cabral. There's some inklings that Andrew Brody will be gone and Javian Brown will take over that right-hand outside back spot. We'll see if there's any validity to that. But they're an okay team. I think it's really just going to come down to how much weight Diego Luna can carry on his shoulders. Because you have Diogo and Foster Ajago as attacking help. But realistically, you know, they sold a bunch of players. They didn't bring in really anybody of added value. And it's just, you know, can Diego take that next step into just becoming a dominant player in this league? I think he can. But if you're putting all your eggs into that basket, number one, don't do that. Eggs are incredibly expensive. And number two, that's a huge gamble to make. I think Diego Luna is going to be good, but will he be a game changer in MLS? We'll see. The newest MLS team, San Diego FC, has brought in everybody. They brought in everybody. There is nobody before this. They brought in everybody. I'm not going to go through their entire depth chart, but I love their team. I got the chance to talk to Tyler Heaps. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you listened to the interview. And the fact that he's been able to pull off some of these deals, something that you shouldn't balk at. They still have a DP spot open. They still have two U22 initiative spots open. And they have a front three of Chucky Lozano, who has been rumored to come to MLS for so long. Anders Dreyer, who I have so much stock in. And Marcus Ingvinstaren. That's a great attacking trio, and I think that we saw, I mean, obviously it's preseason, but we saw that pay off when it was 6-0 against New York Red Bulls earlier in the preseason. Luka De La Torre and Ani Valakari, as well as Jeppe Terskov. That's a great nucleus of a midfield. We'll see how Franco Negri does, because he's currently injured right now. Franco Negri obviously fell out of favor with Inter Miami, but he's a solid piece to play. Like, he's not going to change games. He's also not going to lose them for you. Andres Reyes and Patty McNair, a great center back duo with depth of Chris McVie and Hamidi Diop, who we've still been waiting to see if he will take that next step, as a lot of Charlotte fans hoped he would. Right outside back of Kumato and Jasper Lofelsund, as well as the goalkeeper group, are the only things that are stopping me from saying, hey, these guys are going to make some big moves this season. Because if you're relying on CJ's Dos Santos or Jacob Jackson, you know, it's not something that I would put a lot of hope into. But CJ, he looked good, obviously. He has a pedigree coming over from Benfica, but he's just never been able to do it in MLS for an extended period of time. And that right back room, not the best that we have seen. But like I said, they have a lot of spots open that they can use. I continue to reiterate this over and over again so nobody freaks out. There's still so much more time to sign players. So look for those two spots to upgrade. But either way, San Diego, are they going to do as well as St. Louis City did when they entered the league? Probably not, but they will make some noise and they will be competitive and they will score a lot of goals. Bruce Arena's San Jose Quakes are going from wooden spoon winners last season to a complete overhaul. They have brought in most of New England Revolution, including Marc-Anthony Kay, Dave Romney, and Ian Harkes, as well as bringing in Chicho Arango and Joseph Martinez to pair with Hernan Lopez, Christian Espinoza, and Amal Pellegrino. That attack is insane to think of. Danielle will be back and healthy, which is great news for them because his absence last year was the reason why they ended up getting that wooden spoon award. When you're relying on JT Marcinkowski and Jacob Jackson as your goalkeepers, you're going to let in goals. Danielle, I think, will return to form as he once was a solid MLS goalkeeper. And the main thing is just, you know, will Hernan and Christian Espinoza be able to feed Joseph and Chicho? Can Bruce keep everybody happy? You know, you're bringing in notably two players who can get upset pretty quickly if things aren't going their way. So can he keep Chicho and Joseph happy? We'll see. I expect them to play up top at the same time because you're not going to bring in Joseph off the bench. And they have Preston Judd as their rotational center forward. So they'll be playing some big games, but, you know, I don't see them necessarily making the playoffs. But I think they will be fun to watch. I mean, even Bruce Arena on Call It What You Want was saying that it's going to take some time for them to see some massive improvements. And when your own coach is saying that, I think you probably need to listen to somebody as experienced as Bruce Arena. U.S. men's national team Seattle Sounders FC has brought in Jesus Ferreira and Paul Areola. They pair them up top with Jordan Morris and Pedro de la Vega. Pedro, who I was super high on last season, coming in often injured and just not clicking with the team. Albert Rusnak comes back, as well as Jackson Reagan and Yaimar. It's just a solid MLS team. You know, I think the deal that they were able to pull off for Jesus Ferreira and Paul Areola is just a masterclass in understanding MLS roster designations and accounting. Because when you have a team with a backline of Nuhu, Jackson Reagan, Yaimar, and Alex Roldan, you would expect them to not be able to carry a team in the attack that is just as dynamic. But then you look at the attack and you see Albert Rusnak, Jordan Morris, Jesus Ferreira, Pedro de la Vega, and Paul Areola. Seattle is going to be incredibly competitive. It's just, are they going to be able to carry the load over a season where they're also playing in a Club World Cup? That group of death is nothing to balk at. I hope that they do some good and represent MLS well. But the amount of competitions that they're in, we'll see how Brian Schmetzer is able to rotate these pieces. But Seattle, they're one of the best rosters in MLS. St. Louis City has brought in part-time model and head coach Olaf Melberg, as well as Conrad Wallum and Timo Baumgartel. Not a lot of moves this offseason, but basically, that's because they did most of their shopping last summer when they brought in Tuchart and Hartle. City are going to have a tough road ahead of them, but they have definitely started clicking over the last second half of the season when Hartle and Cedric Tuchart came in. João Klaus, can he return back to season one form? That's the biggest question mark. They brought in Simon Becher as an insurance policy with a midfield of Edward Leuven, Chris Durkin, and Indiana Vasilev. It's not a bad roster. It's, you know, the question is Olaf Melberg the coach that you need? And the last team of the West Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll see if they stay in Vancouver. They brought in Jaden Nelson and Emmanuel Sabi and Tate Johnson. This team has regularly overperformed. When Vanni Sartini was their head coach, they shipped him out and replaced him. And now they're hoping that they can recreate the magic. And I just don't think that they can. I believe in Takioka. I believe in Brian White. And I believe in Ryan Gauld. But the rest of the team is, it's middling MLS team at best. They brought in Daniel Rios on loan, who did well for Atlanta United when he was on loan there. But if you're expecting Sebastian Berhalter, Andres Cubas, Ali Ahmed, and Pedro Vite to help bolster a less than impressive attack, I just don't think that they'll be able to do it. Pedro Vite has never taken that step that everybody has hoped that he did. We don't know how Sabi's going to do. Jaden Nelson is somebody who I think can be good, but jury's still out. And Brian White has been overperforming the past couple seasons, basically ever since he came over from Red Bulls. Is that him or is that Vanni Sartini's coaching? We'll see. But I don't see them coming out of this as a better team without Vanni Sartini. And who knows, maybe they don't want to spend a lot of money because they're trying to sell the team. That is what it is, but we'll see how they do. And like we ended the Eastern previews, we leave on a sour note. And now it's time for what I call the put up or shut up time. I will release this on Blue Sky and Instagram and Twitter. I'm still on there, where you can find this laid out in a nice little graph. But here are my Eastern and Western Conference rankings. All right, so I have five different sections for where teams could slot into. Right now it is wooden spoon contenders, teams that miss the playoff, wild card teams that are good enough for the playoffs, conference semifinalist, and contenders. So those are the conference finals and obviously into MLS Cup. I tried to do this as realistically as possible, how I think that each conference will play out. So I'm not going to have four Western Conference teams on the wild card because that's not how it happens. It's, you know, two Western Conference, two Eastern Conference. So without further ado, we'll go from bottom to top. Your wooden spoon contenders are CF Montreal, New York City FC, Toronto FC, and DC United. Right now, things could obviously change, but I think if I was a betting man, that CF Montreal team would probably win the wooden spoon. I know it's not something you necessarily want to win, but they have not made the necessary improvements to be a competitive team in the Eastern Conference. Unfortunately for CF Montreal fans, I think you're staring down the barrel of a loaded gun, and that gun is called wooden spoon. Teams that are missing the playoffs are FC Dallas, San Jose Earthquakes, Real Salt Lake, Vancouver Whitecaps, Houston Dynamo, Philly Union, Sporting Kansas City, and the New England Revolution. I think FC Dallas, San Jose, and Real Salt Lake are going to play some meaningful games, but the West is just going to be too crowded for those teams to make it over the finish line into the wild card spots. The reason why I bumped up Vancouver and Philly from these spots is that they have competitive pieces. You know, if Brian White and Ryan Gauld are your only two attacking players, it's not ideal, but they're also not going to lose you games. Philly, I think they're making necessary moves to become better. I'm wishing the best to Bradley Carnell, but I hold Jim Curtin in such high regard. I think that there's going to be a significant drop off. The wild card teams I have are San Diego FC versus Colorado Rapids, Nashville SC versus Columbus Crew. Obviously, the big thing here are San Diego and Columbus. Jury's still out, you know? I can't make an overarching opinion on them when most of their team is gone. But from what I can see and what we know of Wilfred Nancy, Columbus is going to remain competitive. But unless they sign a DP number 9 and another winger, you know, I don't envision them being overtly competitive in MLS Cup this season while also having CONCACAF Champions Cup to compete in. San Diego, I really love their build, but like I mentioned before, their goalkeeper and their outside backs are causing me concern on if they're actually going to be good enough for the playoffs or if they're going to be on that wild card line. The next section is good enough for the playoffs. We have Greg Berhalter's Chicago Fire, FC Cincinnati, Orlando City SC, Austin FC, St. Louis City, and Minnesota United. I think with all of these teams, there are certain players on there that I'm expecting to take a huge leap, like Jonathan Bamba, Evander, and Kevin Denke. Ramiro Henrique, Brandon Vasquez, Tuchart, and Calvin Yeboah. They're all going to be really solid teams, but I don't know that they necessarily have all the pieces to bring them over to that next step. Conference semifinalists right now are Galaxy, Portland Timbers, Charlotte Football Club, and Red Bull New York. All of these teams have made noticeable improvements, minus the LA Galaxy. They have shipped out a lot of players, but I believe in Greg Vanney. I think that he's going to keep this team relevant, especially with Peck. And once Payne Still gets healthy, we'll see how Ricky Pooj is reintegrated into this team. He'll be coming back right before the playoffs start. So I think that they could make some noise, but I don't think that I could yet put them in the contender status. Obviously, Charlotte FC brought in Zaha, Pep Biel's back, Leo Labada, and Big Pat Ajiman. They're going to be an incredible team to watch. They have the firepower to make something happen in the playoffs, but I just don't know if I can put them in the contender spot yet. And the last line, contenders. Obviously, there is Inter Miami, Atlanta United, LAFC, and Seattle Sounders. In Schmetzer, we trust. I think they're going to get out of the FIFA Club World Cup kind of decimated. They're in the group of death for a reason, and I think that's going to leave a bad taste in their mouth, and Schmetzer is going to put all his eggs in the MLS Cup basket. They have so much depth to compete and a system that 90% of the roster is well and acquainted to. LAFC always continuously overhauling their roster, but I like the pieces that they put together, especially if they're in that 3-4-3 formation with Hugo Lloris in goal and the center backs that they have in front of him. They're not going to let in a lot of goals. The question is, will Olivier Giroud and hopefully Antoine Griezmann take them over the top? Atlanta United made waves last season. This season, they have put in money. Latte Loth, Miggy Almiron, and Lobogenitse, with Maranchuk distributing, is a recipe for success. Like I said in the Eastern Conference preview, the only spot that I think that you could upgrade is that left center back spot. And if that's the only spot on your team that you need upgrading for, you have a really good team. And obviously Inter Miami. Everybody talks about them. I don't need to go into it. You have Messi, you have Alba, you have Busquets, you have Suarez. They're a good team. They're going to compete for the cup. And that is it. I am always your host, Tyler Wise. Thank you for joining me on another episode of Underway. I hope you guys enjoy opening weekend. There are a lot of great matchups. We will try to cover them all next week. Have a good weekend. Love you. Bye.
Underway has been brought to you by 818 Productions. Any use of Underway, either acquired through podcast or video format that is captured by a third party with proper credentials, requires the direct written consent of 818 Productions, and must be used in compliance with all requirements and restrictions stated therein.